So, series on doctrine thing. It's not really just doctrine. Remember, we're speaking about the meaning of the true meaning of what the Bible states as doctrine, and the true meaning of the word religion. The two words, which again, religion spoke of five times in the Bible. And four of them are negative, and one of them is somewhat positive, but really has nothing to do with God's word. It has to do with our actions. James says, if you want to be religious, be religious about visiting orphans and widows. So it's really not speaking of the Bible. It's speaking more of our actions when Christ comes into our life. So. That's what we were talking about, and the last time I was up here, I read rapidly through three chapters of First Corinthians, and remember, we were saying that to me that's probably one of the best if you want to look at a religious. A church that turned religious instead of staying the Church of Christ and man-made doctrines, probably the First Corinthians. Paul states it very clearly. He's in there and he's explaining to get away from that. And he says to him, I came to you speaking only about Jesus and the cross and what he did. Period. I didn't bring you any religious rituals. I didn't bring you any man-made doctrines. I just spoke Christ to you and what he did on the cross. That's what I spoke to you. So we heard what Paul has to say and what Paul was talking about. And we're going to get into a couple more apostles here in a second. Okay. And since I forgot about the announcements. Let's go into the announcements before we get into the word. Okay. Okay. I'm sorry, guys. I kind of forgot about this here. Have them wide open in front of me, and I forgot. Okay, so Frontline Ministries, military adopt somebody who's being deployed, or who is deployed, or is going to be deployed. And Janet and Scotty will be in the foyer on Sunday. So if you want to sign up, you can do it there. Okay. Also, Family Camp, July 10th through the 15th. That's just right around the corner here. For more information, you can call the office here, or you can call Lake Paris directly, and I think the sites are 271 through 282. So I think there's still sites available, because they don't say anything that there isn't, so there should be sites available also. Dragon Slayers next Tuesday, 7 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. A Men's Accountability Group, awesome. I've been to most of them. I think I've missed one or two, but awesome. It's awesome. Okay, so that's an awesome time that we have together as men, and we speak about men stuff. Okay, okay. Really, we speak about our struggles and stuff like that. But it's an awesome place to meet. Okay, so CC Ramona Youth Bay Trip. The kids are out in Pastor Jim and Saul. They got them out in the bay. They got their thing going. They're in the Word. They're having games. They're having fun. They're doing an awesome job. Pastor Jim and Pastor and Saul, man, they really love our kids, and they give them the Word. They teach them, they the games they do, and everything's fun and in a godly way. So, okay, youth game night. I'll let that for when the youth are here, and that's it. And also, Pat asked me to. Ask if we have any volunteers to sign up for our Brother Glenn's memorial service on July 23rd. So there's a sign-up sheet. If you want to sign up today, he's got a sign-up sheet and a table out in the foyer. So after we're done here, if anybody wants to volunteer to help or serve, be out the foyer, okay? Okay, so now we get to the good stuff, the heavenly delights. After the tonight's service, we got Bev's Crock-Pot Cobbler, Thea's lemon cake, root beer floats and ice cream sundaes, hot coffee with the fufu creamer, Julie's Irish bun cake, Thea's apple cranberry cake, So there's several goodies over there for after this evening. So if you if you'd like to support the girls, go on over there and have some dessert this evening after the service. Okay, so again, we're going to try to close this up a little bit better this evening. We're going to look at three other apostles, and not only apostles, we're going to look at Jesus Christ, what he has to say about this subject also. So if you go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, that's where we're going to start off at. And again, it's just something that's very important to us as believers, and it was important enough to that the Bible speaks about it in several different areas, from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. It speaks about false doctrines and religiousness. It speaks about it a lot, and we're going to just look at a few different aspects of it, a few different authors. We're going to look at Peter and what he's got to say about it. So we already saw what Paul has to say about it. We saw that last time I was up here. So are you in there? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we lift this evening up to you, Lord, and we just pray that you take charge of it, Father, that you teach us. I ask that you give us understanding and discernment of your word, and that we can apply it to our lives, Father, that we may be a light for others, Lord, that you just may come and use us, Father. Use us to be a light amongst our friends, our family members, our community. Just use us, Father, that we may be lights for you and for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay, guys, so let's see what Peter has to say about this subject. Again, we're kind of looking at what the word doctrine really means, and we had a definition of it before that, but it's about doctrine and religious, about false doctrines and about what religiousness means in this. So, in this whole thing of Christianity. Okay, so verse 16 says Peter's. Peter's speaking, Christ has already ascended to heaven, and he's speaking to a church also. So he says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. Okay, he's speaking of the transfiguration, which he witnessed. Okay, and he's saying we were there. We saw what happened. We heard the voice. It's not coming from a second mouth. We were witnesses to this. We saw it. We lived it. We were with Christ when this happened. Okay. So he's speaking not as a second voice or somebody hearing it from somebody else. He was there. He saw what happened. He heard the voice coming from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Okay, now notice another thing. He said, "We didn't come with fables. We came in the power of knowing our Lord Jesus Christ." What is he saying? He's saying it's simple. I didn't teach you religiousness. I didn't teach you any other teaching, because doctrine it basically just means teaching. I didn't teach you anything else but Christ. That's all I taught you. I pointed you to Jesus Christ. Okay? And then the voice comes down from heaven and says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." He's the one. Okay? He should be our focus in everything we do. He's the focus of our salvation, is what he's saying. Okay? So, verse 19 says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed." Okay? Confirmed. He didn't say, we kind of heard it, or we're interpreting it. It's confirmed. Okay, the prophetic word is confirmed, "which you do well to heed as a light that shines in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Okay? I don't remember where. I think I heard Pastor Rob say this, or somebody here teaching one time, that the longest or the hardest road we're ever going to travel is 18 inches. That's where the connection between our heart and our brain, and that's true. When we got those together in God's word, man, everything comes together. So that, I don't know why I said that. It kind of reminded me when it says it in your hearts. So in our hearts and our minds, when Christ is in our heart and in our minds, I mean it's a totally different outlook on life that we have. Okay, all right. Verse 20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Okay, that is important. Okay, that is very important. None of the Scripture is of our own private interpretation. What does that mean? That means that as teachers, it's not about our opinion. It's about what God's word actually says. In other words, let's not take out of context what God's word is. That's what leads into false doctrines and religiousness, is when we take man's opinion and try to impose it on God's word. Okay? Now, one thing I forgot to mention also, guys, is that this is actually speaking, and the Bible speaks of from the beginning, it's in the prophets, it speaks to leaders and teachers, and it holds them to a standard of just speaking God's truth. Jesus, he was never angry with the people. He always guided his anger or expressed his anger with the leaders of the church, with the leaders of his people. He was always speaking to them harshly, and he was straight up with them, and he was always, I don't want to say that he was mad or angry at them, but man, he told them the way it was. He really let them know what he was thinking. He didn't hold his tongue with them. He let them know that they had made a mess of his teachings with his people, and his people were in error because of them. Okay, so we're going to read some stuff here, and I'm telling you that because we're going to read some stuff here, and later I don't want you to, you know, tell a friend, the Bible says that you're, because you're in religiousness, or man, you're not going to make it. He says he's not going to know you. He's not talking to the common folk, because the people are listening to the leaders, and he holds the leaders of the church or the teachers in a different position. Because they hold a different position because they're teaching. Remember when I was telling you last time I was up here that one of the saddest memories I have of when I first started in ministry in another church was that I went to the pastor and I told him, I'd like to give a more theological teaching of God's word to the congregation. And he told me, they're not going to understand that, Oscar, because, you know, you went to college and they're too ignorant. That's what his words were. They're too ignorant to understand a theological discussion, you know, and which made me, I did. I'm better than that. No. God came and showed me. He told me, you know what? If the church is ignorant, that means you're more ignorant because you're supposed to be teaching them. So if they know nothing, you know nothing, you know less. So, and that's the standard that God holds people who teach his word. You know, we're supposed to teach his word, not give our opinion, or not lead people into religiousness or interpret to our convenience. The word of God is his word and his teaching, and it's special. It doesn't matter what any man's opinion is. It matters what God's opinion is and what God's teaching is. Okay? Okay. So, back to 2 Peter. We're going to get into chapter 2, and it says, we're still in verse 20. I'm sorry. We're still in verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God who spoke, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Okay. The Bible teaches in John chapter 16, it teaches that the Holy Spirit will guide us to all truth and to all understanding. Okay? Jesus is speaking in chapter 16, and John chapter 16, and he's teaching, and he's saying, he's telling them about he's gonna be crucified. They're not understanding, but he's telling them that they gotta leave, that he has to leave, and it's better that he leaves because he's gonna send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is gonna guide us to all truth and understanding. Okay, so it's the Holy Spirit that guides men to truth. When we were reading through 1 Corinthians last time, Paul was mentioning that. He was saying, you know what, men can't understand, or the common man can't understand it, because they're not discerning God's word spiritually. They're discerning it through man's opinion. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is going to guide us and will guide us if we let it, if we accept it. If we in our hearts and in our mind understand that God's word is true, okay? He will guide us, he will lead us, and he will show us the way and guide us to all truth and all understanding of God's word, okay? We were just singing a while ago, his burden is light, his yoke is light, and how's it going? I'm sorry. Exactly, we were singing that God doesn't put all kinds of pressures on us. Thank you, John. He doesn't put all kinds of pressure. It's easy if we let him guide us, if we let him do the work for us, and he will, okay? So now we're going to go into chapter 2. It says, but there are also false prophets among the people, even as they will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bringing on themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Okay, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Okay, again, he's speaking of the leaders of the church, or people who will teach doctrines that have nothing to do with God's doctrine. Okay? There's a difference. There is a big difference. Man's doctrine will usually lead us into religion, into religiousness. Okay? Because they tell you, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to dress differently, you need to do all sorts of things to please man. Okay? That's important, because at the end I'm gonna go into the three things three rules that were discussed in the Jerusalem Council, and in chapter 15 in Acts. I'm gonna go in then. But that's what man's doctrine, what man's opinion does. It leads into religiousness. It leads you from God. It puts a veil between you and God's truth. Okay, all right. So we're going to go in. We're going to go in to see what John has to say. So we're going to be in 1 John chapter 2. Okay, verse 18. Okay, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Okay. So John says, little children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that that it is the last hour. Okay. That word Antichrist, a lot of people think that it's the head honcho, the bad guys come in, and it is. But he says there are many antichrists. What does he mean by that? What he's talking about is anybody who is against Christ's teaching or who teaches contrary to Christ. Okay, that's an antichrist because they are against him. They're doing things to undermine God's original teachings. Okay, so it's not speaking directly of the antichrist that's coming at the end of the world type thing. That's not what it's speaking about. It's speaking about false teachers, false prophets, false teachings against Christ. Okay, so verse 19 says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us." Okay, so that's happened what we see now in false teachings and false prophets and all that. False prophets, false. I'm speaking of pastors that don't or leaders of churches that don't actually teach truths. Okay, they teach more man-made doctrines than the Word of God. Okay, so that's something that was dealt with at the beginning of the church, and it's come through till the present time, and it's going to be in the future also. So it's not nothing new. Christ spoke to it before the church was even born, and which we will see that also. But it's nothing new. The church, God's church, has actually been dealing with this since it started. It actually dealt with it before it started. Okay, he's telling us that they were with us, they did come from us, but what happens is from my experience, from the church I came from, having a little plaque that says pastor on it, or minister, or deacon, that's that's a hard thing, okay? And most people take those positions, a lot of religions, they'll take that position and to look down on the people or for the people to serve the person with the little name tag. You understand what I'm saying? And that's not what Jesus taught. Jesus served the people. Okay? Jesus came and served. He didn't put on who was the leader of the Sadducees. He didn't put all their garments on, the ephod and the big old hat. He didn't do that. He came as he was, and he didn't put on special clothes or tell anybody, you got to dress different, he didn't do that. He came humbly, and he taught humbly. That's who Jesus Christ was. And my experience with that, and I'm saying my experience because even as I was teaching and as I was ministering in that old church, I knew that it was wrong, but man, I was thinking, in next year, I'm going to be a minister, or next year, and I was thinking of that title, that man-made title, and I wasn't really serving God, and that's a hard thing. I mean, those titles and people, they mean nothing, because Paul says, everything's filthy rags to me. All I know is Jesus Christ, and that's the truth. And when we open our eyes to that, man, there's no difference. It's God's teaching. It's not my teaching. It's God's word. It's not my word. He does everything. But those doctrines and the religiousness can lead into that, to where you think of yourself more than what you really are, especially if you're standing behind a pulpit and speaking. I heard Pastor Chuck say one time, in one of his teachings, he said, sometimes the guy behind the pulpit gets a special treatment, or they look at him in a special way. And he says, you really want to know who I am and how I am, ask my wife and ask my kids. And that's the same thing. You want to know who I am? Ask my wife and ask my kids. They'll tell you what the real, you know, and they'll tell you how grouchy I am, and they'll let you know. But these are people that came within the church, and they wanted a title of a pastor or some type of title, and they started teaching and they started doing things that the original church and the original apostles and the original leaders of the church did not teach. Okay, so they tried. In other words, what they were probably doing is catering to man, or to our selfishness, and they would teach doctrines that Christ did not teach. Okay, so verse 20, it says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Okay, see, when we let the Holy Spirit guide us, we will know all things, the important things. What we need to know for our salvation, the Holy Spirit will teach us. We will know everything we need to know for our salvation through the Holy Spirit, okay? So, verse 21 says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of truth, okay? So, again, the Holy Spirit will guide us, and it will guide us to all truth, not to the lies. It'll guide us through the lies. It'll get us out of the lies. It'll get us out of religiousness. It'll get us out of false doctrines. The Holy Spirit will do that for us. Okay? So, verse 22 says, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. Okay? In other words, they taught Jesus Christ from the beginning. They taught his teachings, what he did, what he accomplished on the cross, nothing else. Okay? That's where our salvation lies, in and through Jesus Christ. Okay? So, if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Okay, so if we stick to that easy thing, let Jesus Christ be everything instead of trying to help him or take his place or taking his word out of context, we're good. We're okay. Okay, verse 25 says, and this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. Okay, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. Okay, in other words, we know that Paul, the Bible tells us that Paul was worried about these false teachings, okay, false doctrines and religiousness. We know that Peter was, and now we know that John is also, okay? And the Bible speaks of it a lot. It's not just these three. I picked these three, but it's not just them, okay? The apostles, Jesus and Jesus Christ, they were worried about these false teachings and false doctrines and false prophets. They were. It was something that they wrote extensively on. So they knew what was going to happen. They knew that we were going to be lied to. They knew that we were going to be taught different doctrine than Jesus Christ than that of Jesus Christ. Okay, so. Verse 26 says, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. Again, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you, you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just and just as it is, as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Okay? So, the teaching of God's word through the Holy Spirit, we can't go wrong with that, okay? And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Okay, again, they're teaching us, or they're warning us against these false teachings. Both Paul, all three, Paul, Peter, and John, they teach extensively on this particular subject, okay? So we know that is that's important, okay? And we know that the truth is here, God's doctrine. This is God's doctrine, okay? Remember, I told you guys, how do you know when, how do you know if you're into religion or if you're in or in God's church? God's church is God's word. Doctrine, if somebody writes a book and says this is our doctrine, but don't worry about it, it's based on the Bible. What they're really telling you is, you know what? You're not smart enough to understand the Bible. We're going to interpret it for you. That's basically what they're telling, okay? And that's a false teaching. That's man's opinion. Let the Bible teach us, let the Holy Spirit guide us, and we can't go wrong. He will lead us to all truth, okay? All right, so now let's see what Jesus said, and we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Okay. So, Jesus again, he's teaching his apostles at this point. They're still the apostles, and he's teaching them. He's telling them, and he's warning them, because that's all he did. He was making sure that they were going to be able to lead his church properly. Okay, so he's teaching them and he's showing them the truth and the right way. And how to teach the church also. Okay? So he says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Okay, again, this is kind of the one where I was talking about. He's talking about the leaders of the churches, people who are gonna teach false doctrines, people who the future pastors and the future leaders of the church. So again, if you know somebody who's really religious, please don't go to him and say, you know, the Lord says that he's not going to know you. But he's not talking to the regular people. Remember, Paul says, you know, you're saved, but you're still children. In other words, you're not mature in Christ's word. You're saved, but you're not mature in God's words. So please don't take it as going and telling somebody, you know, God's not going to know you because you're religious or anything. That's not what it's talking about. He's talking to the leaders. He's talking to the teachers. He's talking to the pastors. That's who he's talking to. Okay. So he says, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Okay? Okay. The fruit that he's speaking about is spiritual fruits. Okay? He's not talking about works, because a lot of people they confuse that. They think works are fruit, and they can be if they're done in a spiritual manner. Okay, they can be, but a lot of people confuse that. And let me give you an example again from my experience. When I was at the other church, we thought that by making food selling it because the only people that bought it were the people from the congregation. We thought that was, oh, we're serving God. We're serving God, and we're, you know, we got a lot of fruits because we make a lot of tamales. We eat a lot of tamales too, as you can tell. I ate a lot. But that's not what they were talking about. That's not fruits. That's works. That had nothing to do with serving God. Okay? Had nothing. Because the truth is there's only one way to serve God. There is no other way that we can serve God, and the only way we can serve God is by serving others. There's no other way. That's the only commandment he gives us. Love one another as I have loved the church. See? So there's really nothing we can do other than love one another, help one another, pray for one another. That's serving others is the only way we can serve God. That's the only way. It's not making tamales. It's not praying 24/7. It's not fasting 8 days a week. And I know I said eight because I know people that fast 8 days a week, and there's only 7 days in. How they do it, I don't know. They never lose any weight either. So, but they think that by doing these things, it's a spiritual fruit. It's not. That's not a spiritual fruit. Spiritual fruit is always about others. Okay, that's the only way. That's good fruit, and that's what he's speaking about. He's speaking about the fruits that we can give as Christians to others. Okay, because that's what it's all about. It's our light is supposed to shine for others to find their way. Okay, that's why our light is supposed to shine. We're supposed to be lights for his church, for people to come and say, I want what you have, that peace, that happiness, that tranquility that only Jesus Christ can give, because only he can give it. Okay? We're supposed to be lights for the world, not for ourselves. Making tamales and all that was good because it was only for me. I ate a lot. I can tell you it was for us. It had nothing to do with serving other people. It had nothing to do with serving God's church. It was serving just the congregation. And it didn't go out to anybody else. There was no help or any teachings for the community. It wasn't there. Okay? It was just works, but it wasn't spiritual fruit. Okay? Verse 20 says, therefore, by their fruits they will be known. Okay? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Okay? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, 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 have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Okay? That kind of reminds me of Acts chapter 19, where a bunch of Jewish leaders got together and they started, they saw that Paul and the apostles were doing a bunch of miracles and healings and stuff like that. And they came up to this demon-possessed guy. Remember that? And they said, we exorcise you in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches. And then the demon says, you know, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And then beats him up, spanks him naked and sends him on their way. You know, that's what it kind of reminds me of. Because Jesus says, And verse 23, it says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you. Why? Because there was never a true relationship. They weren't using God's word or God's teachings. They weren't bearing spiritual fruits. They were doing things that made them feel better and made them look better to others. But it wasn't doing anything for God's church, and it wasn't doing anything for anybody else. Okay? Okay. Verse 24 says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken them to the wise man who built his house on the rock. Okay. Remember Matthew, I don't remember what the chapter is, but remember when Jesus is talking to and asking to the apostles, who do people say I am? Remember that? And Peter says, you are the Christ, you are the Son of God. The Holy Spirit showed you that. Okay. So and then he says, on this foundation I shall build my church, which he was speaking of him. On this rock I will build my church, he says. He was speaking of him on the foundation that he is our salvation. The rock is he is the rock, okay? He is the cornerstone of the church. He is the cornerstone of our salvation. He did it. And if we stand on his truth, that's where our salvation comes from, okay? On his truth and what he did. because we can't save ourselves. None of us, it wasn't, none of us took a nail. None of us took any of the, none of us said to him, you know, hold on a second. Jesus, I'm going to take this one whipping for you. No, none of us did that. He took them all for us. He took the nails. He died for us. We didn't die for him. Okay, he died for us. Okay, so he is the rock of our salvation. He is the cornerstone. Okay, so, and it says, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Okay? So, oh, verse six, Matthew 16, 18. That's where it was. Okay? But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Okay, I've known a lot of people that have said, Christ is my foundation. I am founded on Christ. I have a personal relationship with him, and as soon as something went wrong, no more. You didn't see him in church anymore. And I'm talking about where I was in the church before I came here. And I could probably mention at least 15, 20 people off the top of my head. Okay? Why? Because they base their salvation on their works. They base their salvation on religiousness. They base their salvation on man's opinion, okay? Specifically, baptism. They were in the religion I was. It was more of a cult, but it was a religion. We had to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I think I told you that. Okay, there had to be speaking of tongues to be the to that was the. It was weird because first they tell you, in order to be saved, you got to come to our church. And after you come to the church, it says, in order to be saved, you have to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then after you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you got to dress different. Then after you dress different, you got to speak different. Then you got to speak in tongues. Then so you got all these things, and you got a bunch of, every time you got one, you got over one barrier, there was another one waiting for you. So there was really no personal relationship. And that's what Christ is saying. There's no personal relationship. And if there's no personal relationship, your house is going to fall. And countless people, not bad people, just people who were taught wrong. Man-made doctrines, who were taught religiousness, and they're no longer in church. And they're not there because of the leadership. Because they gave false teachings. See? They fell. And God knew this. Christ knew this. That's why he's telling him, beware of the false prophets. He's not condemning the people. He's saying you're going to fall if you guys listen to these guys, and it's going to hurt. So he's the teachings that they got, they didn't serve any type of, they didn't serve to build a relationship or to mature anybody when I say mature, that's every day, because I believe every day we mature in Christ, if we're in Christ. And there was no growing. There was no spiritual growth in them. So there is a certain blame that they could have, if they would have put their faith in God's word, and they would read it, and they would savor it, and they would ask the Holy Spirit to teach them. But they relied on the person behind the pulpit, and they believed what he said. And when there was problems, they fell. And they were gone, and they were hurt. And some of them never to go to set foot in another church again. I got two of my favorite cousins. I love them like my brothers. One passed away, and the other one still, he lives in Vegas. But his parents were very, very religious people, put all kinds of strains and restrictions on him. And these two guys, they say they believe in God, but they will never set foot in a church because of what, it wasn't just their parents. They went through a lot with a lot of rejection through the leadership of the church. So they'll never set foot in another church. I mean, my cousin knows me, he loves me, but he doesn't. I try to talk to him. He doesn't want to listen. He doesn't want to believe because he was hurt so much as a young kid. Okay, whose fault was that? It was the leadership. It was false teachings. People with a special position to teach God's word and not teaching God's word. Okay. Verse 28 says, "And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." What does it mean? What are they saying? They were astonished, saying, whoa. This is way better than what those guys say. Why? Because he was giving them truth. He was telling them how they can be saved. He was telling them, "I don't want your goat. I don't need your goat. It's mine anyway. I don't need your money. I don't need any of that. None of that. I don't need it." He was telling them. He was showing them. He was loving them. See? The scribes and the Pharisees, they didn't love them. They just wanted, they loved their own positions and their little name tags and their dress code. They loved all that, but they didn't love the people. In order to serve God, we need to love each other. In order to serve God, we need to love each other. It's all about others. That's what it's about. And that's what Christ is teaching here. Okay? All right. Let's go to Acts 15. Acts 15, verse 22. Okay? And a little bit of background. So Paul is... Paul goes to Jerusalem, and there's a bunch of Judaizers trying to make the Gentile people fall back into religiousness and fall into rituals and fall into all kinds of legalistic rituals that the Judaizers were trying to make them do, circumcision and keep the Sabbath and all kinds of. They were putting all kinds of restrictions on the common folk, and that's not, again, that is not God's teaching. So there's three. Well, there's actually four, but they're basically one of them is kind of the same. But there's three basic. I don't know if you can call them rules or statutes. I think they're more like suggestions for the church. There's only three, okay? And it has nothing to do with religiousness, and it has nothing to do with works. In other words, nobody can boast about the three things here, okay? And I'll explain to you why. But Paul has this problem. He goes to Jerusalem. The brothers get together. The apostles get together. They have this big meeting, and they're arguing. Some are trying to force Jewish law on the new Christians, on the new Christians, the Gentile Christians, and they're trying to force all these regulations and all these rituals on them. And you got to keep the Sabbath, and again, you got to be circumcised, and all these kinds of things. And Paul's saying, no, they received the Holy Spirit just like everybody else did. Okay. No, they don't have to do this. Jesus Christ never taught that. He didn't say to come back into the law. He said get out of the law. Okay. Jesus fulfilled the law. That's what he did for us. Okay. So Paul's arguing with them, and they come to the conclusion. I mean, he's telling them, look, all these things happen. All these miracles happen, and all these healings happen. The people are coming to Christ. There's evidence of the Holy Spirit working in them. You have no reason to hold the people back from being a part of God's church. You don't have the right, and there is no reason for it. And they come to the conclusion that it's true. There is no reason why they cannot form part of the church. Okay, so it says, then it pleased, verse 22, Acts chapter 15, verse 22, it says, then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men for their own of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named, namely Judas Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, okay? Sorry, guys. My tongue got a little bit tied there. And Silas, leading men among the brethren, okay? They wrote this letter by them. The apostles, the elders, and the brethren. To the brethren, if, listen to what they say, to the brethren. They're already acknowledging that they're part of the church. To the brethren, sorry, guys. Who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, Cilicia, and Cilicia. Greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words. Remember what John said? Those that came out from us and went to teaching false teachings, they're repeating it again. Okay. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such command. Okay, it seems good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. Okay? For it seems good to the Holy Spirit, listen, for it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Okay? So, if the Holy Spirit is okay with it, then so are we, is what they're saying. We don't need any further proof. We don't need anything else. We got a couple things that it would be good if you guys kept in mind, is what they're saying, okay? Because they're not really rules rules. They're not really rules that were needed to follow. It's just saying be mindful of these things, in other words, okay? So it says that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. Okay? So, that you abstain from things that offered to idols. Back then, they had a problem with the Gentiles offering meat sacrifices, and then they would sell them in the back part of the store and stuff. First, they would offer them, and then whatever was left, they would sell. Okay? So, basically, the way you can digest this is stay away from idolatry, any kind of idolatry. Okay, so idolatry is something that's going to lead us in the wrong direction. Okay, idolatry comes in different shapes and different forms. So idolatry, stay away from that. Okay, then it says from blood, from things strangled, basically the same thing. The blood, the Bible says that is the life, and we shouldn't eat it, we shouldn't take it. And the strangled things, it's about the same thing, because when they strangled an animal or something, the blood would stay in it. It wasn't bled out. The Jews have a special way of butchering an animal where they bleed it out. There's no blood left in the animal. So, but it's basically the same thing. Stay away from blood. Don't eat the blood. Don't because that's the life. Christ says that's the life. Don't eat the blood of animals. Okay, and then it says from sexual immorality. Okay, sexual sin. Sex out of marriage. That's what it's talking about. Okay, why are these three things so important? Nobody can boast about these things. Okay, they're not works. You can't go around saying, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm against idolatry, and I don't know, carry a few statues and every few steps break one to show people that you're not for idols. Nobody does that. Nobody can do that. You know, nobody can, wear, I don't know, again, walk around with idols or put a bunch of tikis or on there, and then every few steps grab one and break one, or if they're in front of somebody. That doesn't happen. Nobody can do that. Nobody can boast about not being an idol worshiper. It's not possible. You can't. Well, maybe it is, but I can't see how. But nobody can boast about that. Okay. The same thing with the blood thing. Nobody goes into a restaurant and says, you know, and stands up in front of everybody, I want a steak, but I don't want it with any blood. I don't eat blood. And nobody does that, you know? Nobody can boast about these things, okay? Our works and religiousness, we can, because if we look at Paul, if we look at what Paul was saying in Corinthians, he was saying, you guys are boasting, and you guys think you're better than everybody else because of who baptized you and the way you were baptized, because you guys speak in tongues, because you guys do this, because you guys can do that. You guys are boasting and thinking that you're better than other people because of it. About these things, nobody can boast about them, okay? Nobody walks around saying, you know, I'm faithful to my wife and runs around saying, nobody boasts about those things. You cannot boast about these three rules again, or not rules, I mean suggestions. Nobody can do that. Okay. So that's it's God speaking to his people. You know, he's saying that there's no boastfulness in any of this. So God's working through these men and telling them, they're okay, let them in. You know, don't put any restraints on them or any rituals that you might like to have. It's not for them, and it's not for anybody. Okay, so God is saying, again, let them in. They're good. They're good people. They believe in me. Their faith is in me. Let's just not boast about any of this stuff. There's no way we can boast about our works to be saved. And again, guys, where I came from, we hated everybody. We hated you guys. We didn't like it. Nobody was going to be saved except us. I'm telling you. And one time, one of the guys goes. Some guy says, because it was mostly, it is mostly a Hispanic church. And one guy was looking at him. Is it just us going to be saved? Does that mean there's only going to be Mexicans up there? I don't want to go then. And I was going. And that kind of, I never heard that before, and I was kind of like, whoa, that's true. He goes, I don't want to go either then. But I was, where were we? We were at school, I think, like that, and somebody was saying something, and he goes, that doesn't make any sense. How can it be that only we're going to be saved? The church is mostly Hispanic and Mexicans. If only Mexicans are going to be saved, I don't want to go. So, and he's kind of right, you know. I didn't want to go either if it's just us. So, but you know, that's what religion does. That's what false doctrine, it teaches you that you're the only one to be saved because you jump through all the hoops. And God doesn't give us any hoops. He gives us a straight relationship with him. One that's easy to follow, doesn't put any restrictions on us. When we mature and become true believers, we stop doing the thing, we stop sinning because we love God, because we don't want to offend him. Not because anybody is forcing us to. We do it out of love. Those are spiritual fruits when it's done out of love. But if it's done because we want to get in good with the pastor, or we want to look good amongst the brethren, that has nothing to do with what God teaches. It has nothing to do with it. Okay? Again, it's all about others. It's all about loving on others. It's all about making intercession and being there when we're needed for others. That's what it's all about, because that's what Jesus, he was there for us. He saved us. He loved us. He healed us. He protected us. And that's our teaching. That's what God really taught. That's what Jesus Christ did on this earth. He protected us. That's what he was doing. Okay? He loved on us. Okay? So that's pretty much it in a nutshell, guys. Again, there's a lot more. There's a lot more scriptures that back up this teaching, because it was a hot topic with Jesus and with the apostles. The false teachings, the false prophets, the religiousness, the trying to make people jump through hoops that Jesus Christ never did, never said, never he never told us to do things like that. His teaching was plain and simple. The apostles' teachers was plain and simple. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. He's the one that salvation comes through. He is the door. That is the teaching of Jesus Christ. And again, Paul said it in the most simple fashion. I didn't teach anything other than Christ crucified. That's all I taught. I didn't teach you guys anything. I didn't teach you guys any religiousness. I didn't teach you any rules or regulations. I didn't give you my opinion. I gave you Christ. Okay? So let us now go out and give Christ to the world, because that's our job. Give Christ to the world. He's the one that's going to heal. He's the one that changes hearts. He's the one that does the miracles. It's him, not us. Okay, guys? All right, and if there's anybody this evening that has never given their life to Christ, don't leave here this evening without doing it. Come up front here. There will be people here that can pray for you. I'll pray with you. And guys, do we have one more? Okay, so let's go ahead and pray. Guys, thank you, Heavenly Father, for this teaching. I pray, Lord, that we cannot just listen to it just hear it, Father, but that we can apply it to our lives, that we can live out your word, Father, and that we can be true lights for your honor and your glory, that you may just give us the strength, give us the ability, Lord, give us the words to speak, your words always, Father, for you to be honored and glorified always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.